The Drives podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group today at 865-566-0800. Applying for disability can be very tedious. Having an experienced attorney on your side makes it easy. Call Disability Advantage Group, 865-566-0800, or visit online at dag-us.com.
You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
We're working like heck.
Hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive right here on Fox Sports Knoxville's Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith, punch of the time clock. Oh, my goodness, a four-day weekend. It's good to be back with you. Did y'all miss me? Maybe just a little bit? It's okay to miss me.
Slightly.
I missed you guys.
What do you mean slightly? I feel like we had a good 2 days.
So you didn't miss Russ?
You know what? I listened some yesterday, and my wife was very complimentary of Brandon specifically, all of you guys as a whole. She said, Brandon did very well. So
thank you, Mrs. Dubs.
And my wife is a tough audience because she will give me the hardcore truth.
I feel like she's still mad at me.
For what?
The whole basketball thing, when I questioned your basketball ability.
Oh.
She got pretty defensive about that.
When you're married to a stone-cold baller like yours truly, you get defensive.
But, yeah, we missed you. There was
I missed a lot, man.
Yeah, like, there was a lot of
like
crazy.
I said yesterday, it was not 2 days. Usually when you miss days, whether you're sick or you're just taking time or whatever, like you want to miss days where there's not much going on. And quite the 48 hours, 72 hours or so in the sports universe. I mean, there's been a lot going on here.
Yeah, I mean, you had a big sports weekend with the Masters and Orange and White game, and then
I mean, the Tiger coming out of the tall grass and just mauling.
Man, it was so awesome to watch. Like, it was just I don't care what your personal feelings are about Tiger Woods. I mean, it's just great for the game. I mean, we've been waiting for over 10 years now. Is it going to happen? When's it going to happen? Is it ever going to happen again? And I think there are a lot of people who's like, yeah, you know, it's probably not going to happen again. And to see it happen, to see him reinvent himself, I know it's been talked about to death, but I didn't get a chance to talk about it. We're going to try and run down John Hodge, our resident golf guru, here on The Drive and talk a little golf here later on in the show. But I think it's a pretty cool story, and the chase is back on for Jack Nicklaus in 18, and who knows, man.
I mean, we're going – the next two majors are courses where he's excelled in the past.
Why is the PGA being held for second this year as opposed to – like, it's usually the last one, right?
I have no idea, but is it at Bethpage in the Open? The next two majors, I believe, are Pebble Beach and Bethpage Black.
I know the U.S. Open is at Pebble Beach, but usually it goes Masters, U.S. Open, British Open, PGA is like in late July.
The PGA got bumped up into May. So I guess every month for the next 4 months we'll have a major.
Yeah, which is awesome for the sport, like I said. And
I think it's probably a calculated decision.
What?
To move it up? Yeah.
How so?
They'll have, especially if Tiger continues to be competitive, whether or not he wins one.
But they would have no idea to have, you know, to have known that when they.
Well,
when
no,
they
but I also think it gets it away from football. Like, interest in pro golf, even back when Tiger was playing, it kind of I mean, as soon as football, college and NFL come back on, it's
– Well, I mean, it's serendipitous for that particular tournament because, yeah, I mean, that's the lesser of the four majors is the PGA Championship. But to have it moved up to second after Tigers won, now all of a sudden there's going to be a huge media feeding frenzy on
that
tournament.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's worked out perfect for them.
I know the ratings were down for the Masters because of the having to move it up earlier in the day. But I kind of liked that, man, just like rolling out of bed and flipping on the Masters. Like, they're rolling at 9 a.m. Like, I know that they're not going to switch that permanently because of tradition and because the ratings are better the later in the day that it plays. But I thought it was just a cool scene.
You know, for so many years, we've been lucky with the weather. And you know, as the sun's going down on Sunday evening, they're walking up 18.
When was the last time they rained out the final? I cannot remember them. I'm sure it's happened. I can't remember them.
Like everything, they run that thing with such precision. If they even, they're going to get it done on Sunday.
I remember the one year that Angel Cabrera won in a playoff, and it was pretty dark at the end. It was the Larry Mize one? Was that a next day playoff? But
might have been.
It was pretty late in the day or something.
Well, you
like
know,
that,
they say that it's a lot darker there than when you're watching it on TV. Like, there was one tournament Tiger won. It was one of the majors where it was, they said on site, it was almost pitch black.
Cliff on Twitter says the FedEx Cup playoffs were the main reason to move up to August ahead of football season. So it has to do with, and that's another thing that, I mean, I love golf. I don't pay attention to the playoff FedEx, thing no, at the end. Like, so
I pay attention to the majors. Who wins them?
Yeah, it's it's interesting. So, what a story, what a weekend, and what a tournament to win it the way he did. We talked yesterday, you know, to come from behind, which was the one kind of blemish on his record. He's never won it when coming from behind. Well, he has now with a reconstructed back and all that. So,
I mean, the shot of the tournament was at 12. That's when I really started believing.
When he
just stuck that thing.
Well,
in the green.
You're thinking that. Molinari, like, his reputation is, I'm just this cyborg machine, and I'm not going to make a mistake. I might not make the spectacular eagle on par five, but I'm not going to make bogey, and you're going to have to take it from me. And then when he went in the drink on 12, and Tony Finau too, and then Tiger steps up there and just freaking parks it. And I don't think he ended up not making the birdie, but the other guy's bogey
because he got the par.
He made up two strokes.
Is that Ray's Creek he stayed out of? He didn't get wet.
And Molinari got in the water again on 15. So, like, he just collapsed, which nobody saw coming. But Tiger did what he had to do. It was a lot of fun to watch. It's pretty much the polar opposite of the orange and white game. Which, I mean, I don't think any of us were expecting fireworks, but it was something that, like, you know, I think a lot of people kind of built their day around. Like, I made it a point to be tuning in at 6 o'clock to watch the orange and white game. I didn't go down there, but I made it a point to watch and flipped it on. And I mean, from the opening kick, it was just like just not interesting, not entertaining at all, man. And I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer here. I'm not ripping on Pruitt or Fulmer or the players or anything, because I think there are some signs of hope and life in the program. But there's spring games everywhere, man. They're not fun. And to me, it's a simple solution. It's like, we just turn this into an exhibition game. And that's an idea that's got some support.
It's a highly controlled exhibition game.
Yeah, and that's an idea that Mark Richt has brought up. You know, other players, coaches have brought up. To me, it makes so much sense. It's going to increase the revenue. People are going to be more likely to attend. You could actually charge a buck or two for admission, or maybe you don't. I don't know. You know, sell more popcorn, more Coke. More people are going to watch. It's going to, you know, enhance your TV ratings. Lower chance of injury because you're 50% less players on the field per play.
Do you
better
think
film
they
study for the coaches. Like, I don't see a single downside to play. And you don't have to play NC State or Clemson. You can play Chattanooga or ETSU and have the same effect.
Do you tightly control it with, you know, very strict ground rules as far as this isn't completely like a regular football? No kill shots.
Well, two things. Like, sure, you can do whatever you want. As you know, coaches agree, you can put the players, the quarterbacks, in no contact jerseys if you want. And if you don't, well, that's up to your discretion as a coach. I would imagine that if you don't have those rules, that Jeremy Pruitt probably wouldn't play Jarrett Garantano. But I'll tell you this, I'd still be a lot more interested and more likely to watch if it's JT Schrout leading Tennessee against Chattanooga than I was watching everybody play in an intra-squad scrimmage on Saturday.
Yeah, I watched, you know, bits and pieces of it. I went back and tried to watch the plays. Did you just pour water all over yourself? You did.
I have a drinking problem. I do that a lot.
Yeah, we know.
These big Nalgene bottles is like big.
Comes rushing out.
Yeah.
So
big flow.
Did you watch the whole thing?
I think I had it on, but I'll be honest. I was like zoning in and out, focusing on Twitter a lot.
Yeah, I went back and like watched Tank McCullough's interceptions. Like the big plays, I went back and watched.
It was almost to me like, you know, if you're watching, you know, Florida Atlantic play Houston on a Thursday night game, and it's just kind of like it's on in the house, but you're not really watching with rapt attention. You're doing some other
tweeting,
things.
Tweeting, you're texting.
That's kind of how it was. That's kind of what it was like. So I wish they would do something about it. It doesn't seem like there's a lot of groundswell momentum towards that happening. So look forward to the orange and white game in 2020. Woohoo! All right. Have we calmed down from the Rick Barnes unpleasant truth bomb that was detonated yesterday?
I mean,
everybody processed their rage and emotion that they felt over that yesterday.
I mean, I'm fine with it.
Bear, you triggered?
Not really. It's just
some people were online mad about it. People were triggered.
I mean, not so much triggered. I'm just, all right, you're a mercenary coach. You're the third highest paid coach in the country. Win, and win now.
So it did change how you feel about him a little bit.
Yeah, that was our smoking hot question yesterday. Did it change your expectations? And yeah.
Well, not necessarily the expectation, but how you feel about him. Like, I think Rick Barnes, even his detractors, I think, would admit that he's a genuine guy.
Oh,
sure. His faith, the way he feels about the program, doing it the right way. In a sport where that is certainly not the norm, Rick Barnes is a guy who walks the walk in addition to talking the talk. Like he's the real deal. I think most people would agree on that. I certainly feel that way.
Yeah, I just
– And that changed that, yesterday?
Yeah, that's well and fine. I still firmly believe all that, and I think he's fantastic to have around. I'm glad that he's here. But
so what specifically changed? What's different today that wasn't – the case yesterday.
That wasn't the case yesterday.
Yeah.
Or the day before yesterday, before we
found out. Before the press conference, before he said what he said.
I mean, it's not even what he said at the press conference. It's just kind of hardened over the past. He's the third highest paid coach. And you go down the list, and Rick never did get back to us with that. If you look at the list of the 10 highest paid coaches in college basketball and look at the resumes.
Okay, so, but that changed a week ago, right, when he agreed to stay. What changed when he said the only reason I'm still here is because of the buyout?
Well, because he spent the past year talking about how much he loved it here.
You don't think he loves it here anymore?
No, I think he's a mercenary.
See, I disagree, man. I think he still loves it here. He had a chance for his dream job. You know, UCLA, that meant something special to him that a lot of folks, you know, particularly younger folks, probably just don't identify with because,
who is our guy out there that's just going to completely screw over wherever he's at because Tennessee's his dream job?
Tennessee fans might not want to hear this, but we just don't have anything, even in football, where our tradition is substantially more storied than basketball, nothing to compare to what UCLA had in the 1960s in college basketball. And
I mean, there's one person.
Not many schools really do have that.
I do think there's one person.
Don't do it, Bear.
That what?
I'm just telling you, straight up,
would. No, don't
that
do
would,
it.
Wait, that would consider Tennessee to be their dream job?
Yeah.
In football?
And would, no, in basketball. And would completely screw over the university.
Oh, so Bruce?
Yeah. I think he would in a heartbeat.
But I'm telling you, it's UCLA basketball is different. And Rick Barnes doesn't have any ties to UCLA. He has more ties to Tennessee than he does UCLA. And his ties to UT aren't that substantial either. You know, he grew up in North Carolina, and his wife went here. Like, that's about it.
I didn't see. To me, the biggest thing about the press conference yesterday was there was no point to it. That's a self-inflicted wound.
I don't know why Coach Fulmer had to be there yesterday.
I'm not really sure why, you know.
That's an end-of-the-season thing. You did have a major news story with Rick Barnes. People are going to ask him about that eventually. You might as well go ahead and do it now.
Well, then he should have done the dance, man.
And he's introducing an assistant coach who's very impressive, by the way, that Kim English dude. Like, I think he's a rising star in
this
business.
Yeah, I do too. But if I'm paying you $5.7 million, you can do a soft shoe for me. I'm not asking you to go out there and lie.
But don't
go out there and embarrass us.
Are we really embarrassed, though? Are you embarrassed by it?
No,
I'm not. I'm not at all.
It really makes UCLA look terrible.
Well, that too.
And compounding all of this is because Barnes doesn't have an agent. That's the X factor in all this. If he had an agent, it would have never gotten that far. All that stuff would have gone. We'd have never heard about it. And Barnes could honestly say,
say yesterday, he doesn't use the word agent, but he said he's got a guy. And I would like to know who that is, because the guy's like surrounded in financials. He basically said, I wasn't involved in the contractual dispute, whatever it was. I had a guy who was handling that. And
it's probably an attorney, he knows.
Yeah, I mean, that may or may not be true. I'm guessing he probably intimately aware of all the nitty-gritty details of whatever negotiation was going on, but he had a guy that was handling it for him.
You think UCLA had the chutzpah to try and get Fulmer not to charge the full amount for the buyout?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know if that's chutzpah. That's just like, you shoot your shot. I mean, it was like, you know, there's an advertiser here who's in Knoxville who spends – you know, millions of dollars a year advertising in the market. Even if I think there's a 1% chance they're going to do a deal with us, I'll pick up the phone and call.
Yeah.
What are they going to do? Tell you no? Like, I don't hold that against UCLA if they tried to get Fulmer to back off the buyout. I probably would have too.
I feel like the next chance Tennessee has to screw them, UCLA, take it.
Well,
I don't care if it's 20 years from now.
The South remembers. Stay with us. Quick timeout. It is The Drive, Fan Run Radio. Good to be back with you. We're back with more right after this.
The Drive.
All right, welcome back. Rocky Top Report brought to you this afternoon by the Kregner Group. Did you guys read the David Ubben exit interview Q&A with Jonathan Kongbo today?
Not yet.
Pretty interesting stuff. Doesn't paint the Butch Jones era in the most positive lights. I know, shocking, right? One of the quotes said, guys were just not going to fight for a coach they didn't believe in. That's a direct quote. Jonathan Kongbo said, how would you describe the last year at Tennessee? I think the last year is a step toward the right direction for the program. Under Butch Jones, I just felt like there were a lot of people in administrative roles that shouldn't be there, that shouldn't be working with kids. They were just there for their own selfish gain. Ouch. What did you feel like was lacking? Just consistency. In my time, I had four different D-line coaches, and there's just so much moving around. You've got to get this person from here and that person from there. So, you can go read the full interview online at The Athletic. Great Q&A piece, David Ubbin. But Jonathan Kongbo, safe to say, I don't think Butch Jones on his Christmas card list.
I don't think a lot of those guys have him on their list.
Lamonte Turner, basketball, undergoes shoulder surgery. Says he played all last year in pain. It says he expects to be back 100% next year. So, that, again, confirming what a lot of us probably thought was the case, and that Lamonte Turner was at no point last year ever 100%.
He played hurt. He wasn't injured. But he did play hurt.
Yeah.
And I think we knew that, and it sounds like they probably had to go in there and just wild, rampant speculate. Just go, you know, they go in and clean stuff up.
Yeah, and hopefully he comes back 100% next year and we get to see him, because, like, he finally did turn it on, and he was clutch, man. Hit probably the biggest shot of the year against Kentucky in the SEC tournament.
And he has for what the past – I mean, he's one of the most clutch three-point shooters in the league.
And if Jordan Bone stays in the draft and doesn't come back next year, then there's – decent chance that Lamonte Turner will, if not be your point guard. I mean, he's definitely a starter next year, I would say.
He's the leader of the team. We talked about it yesterday.
Team leader, maybe your starting point guard. Yeah, I mean, a lot of what happens next year at basketball is going to be on Lamonte Turner's shoulders.
Yeah. Do you think that it'll be interesting to see if the team takes on more of – because you could kind of I've always been able to tell the difference between Lamonte and some of the other guys on the team, no matter how good they are. But Lamonte seems to have more of an edge about him. He's a tougher guy, even though he's one of the smaller guys on the team. He just seems like a tough guy.
Seems like he's got an extra gear there. Lamonte goes hard, no doubt about that.
So you also have Bowden. But he just doesn't seem to be the kind of kid that's I just expect it to be Lamonte to step up and take ownership over the team.
Tennessee baseball pitching staff, another great night last night as 22-ranked Tennessee defeats Morehead State 3-1 at Lindsey Nelson. Up this weekend, Vols hit the road, taking on Kentucky. Kentucky's got a brand new ballpark up there in Lexington. Series starts tomorrow, runs through Saturday. All three games will be streamed online via your SEC network and the Watch ESPN app.
What'd you think about us taking 2 out of 3 from Georgia, number 2 in the nation?
Oh, it's fantastic, man. Great story. I mean, we talked about it last week. Is like you won a game. I think they won the second game against Mississippi State, and you had a chance to win, and Mississippi State was a top 5 team, but you had them at home in the rubber game, and it's like, man, this is getting old. Like, this let's not get swept thing is getting old. We've been saying this for 5-plus years. And let's Tony Vitello said it weekends after the game. He said, you know, it's time to stop praising teams for just winning one game. Like, we need to start winning these series. And to go out and do it the next weekend against basically the same scenario, a top 5 team playing
number 2
at your home ballpark, and to beat them was, I think, a huge statement. Now, can you do it on the road? That's going to be interesting to watch as well. Rocky Top Report brought to you by the Craigner Group. If you're thinking about moving this year, the best way to get started is with a phone call to Bo Craigner at the Craigner Group. They'll come over to your house, take a look around, tell you exactly what you need to do before you list your home so that you can get it sold quickly and move on to your new home. It's quick, it's easy, and best of all, it is free. That's right, the consultation doesn't cost a dime. So what are you waiting for? Call the Craigner Group today at 865-742-1035. That's 742-1035. Or just go online to bonoshouses.com. Bo Craigner, the Craigner Group. List it, sell it, and move on. Speaking of UT stuff, quick shameless self-promotional plug here. Finally got something I've been working on for a long time up and rolling. I got a new podcast I'm doing some long form interviews that I hope are going to be a lot of fun for the listener. They're fun for me. Go and check it out. Had a chance to visit with Bob Kesling last week for over an hour. A great conversation. A lot of people have enjoyed it already. It's on pinned to my Facebook and Twitter if you want to go look at that. Twitter.com. It's at @Russell_Smith. Go check it out, man. A lot of fun. And I'll be recording another one tomorrow, hopefully. So that'll be up either tomorrow or Friday as well.
Do have a little bit of it broke in the last hour.
All right, let's go to the Fox Sports Knoxville breaking news desk. By gosh, it's been a while.
Walk over here. We're in the front office sports on Twitter. The AAF has filed for Chapter 7 bankruptcy. In the filings, the league claims assets of $11.3 million and liabilities of $48.3 million.
So basically,
according to the document, sorry, Russ, the league has on-hand cash in the amount of $536,160.68.
It's got what? $5,000?
No, they got about a half a mil, a little over half a mil, 5.36.
So they're pretty much done, right? I mean, this is just
it's
a miserable failure, not going to work out.
I mean, they just owe everybody. MGM Resorts International, Aramark Sports, Silicon Valley Bank. I mean, it's just a whole list of people I'm sure that they owe.
Well.
So.
Pour one out for the AAF. I'd do it myself, but I don't have a beer handy for the game I didn't watch you play. Anybody watch the AAF? Brandon, you watched some of this stuff. Did you flip it on for just a minute?
No.
No?
No.
I know Bear didn't. I know I didn't. Ryan Sellers, you said, all right, Ryan Sellers, one of us actually saw an AAF game.
Ryan.
Congratulations, Ryan. Let's get Willie in here. Willie, you're on the drive, Fox Sports Knoxville. Good afternoon, sir. Willie, are you with us? Willie going once. Willie going twice. Willie, you, sir, are no longer with us. Have yourself a wonderful day. What do you make of Brian Williams, former basketball ball on Twitter? Not the disgraced NBC news anchor.
Well, he's not disgraced anymore. He's got that nighttime show.
He's disgraced.
Yeah, he's disgraced, man. When you go from the nightly news anchor of the NBC News, you go from the Tom Brokaw replacement to, they put you on like after Rachel Maddow or something on MSNBC at 10 o'clock when nobody's watching. 11 o'clock when everybody else with a life is in bed. You're disgraced. That is the working definition of disgrace. Sorry, go
ahead. Point taken. I can't remember what we were talking about. Oh, Brian Williams. Twitter.
Brian Williams.
I think that there's a lot of people around town, several people in Auburn, Alabama, that would rather Brian just, hush.
I'm here for it. The statute of limitations is passed, right? None of this can come back on.
I mean, it's funny. I love Brian Williams. You talk about good follows on Twitter. Brian Williams.
So y'all remember Brian Williams, the big kid from the Bronx who came in here weighing over 300 pounds and lost all the weight, was a key guy on our Elite Eight team, was a starter on that team.
Yeah, he's one of my favorite players from that era. If you ask him, Brian's one of those guys, if you ask him a question, he'll give you the answer.
He was asked from, I believe a Facebook poster asked him, this is how it started, he said, why did you come to play for Tennessee?
It's beautiful.
And Brian responded, and I quote, Duke Cruz was my host, and he got me extremely drunk and got me two fat white girls. Next morning I woke up, I was a VFL. Go Vols. Wow.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And
Duke Cruz, ace recruiter.
A couple of other if you go back and read his Twitter timeline, and
he throws out nuggets every now and again.
He's thinking about spilling the beans here. Who's ready for a 30 for 30 on Tennessee basketball team from 06 to 2011? You thought you knew, but you have no idea.
As I said, there's certain people around town, and I can think of one in Auburn, Alabama that does not want that seeing the light of day. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on over there.
Somebody responds to that tweet.
With what?
Do it. You got to include a certain member of the team posting up outside the library trying to sell weed to anyone that walked by, wasn't even trying to hide it.
I'm not a grass expert.
There was a fair amount of lawlessness. Would you say? Would that be fair?
Would you like to hear the whole? Just
no. I know bits and pieces of it.
I would.
I think you're lying right now.
I want
to
hear it all.
I'm sorry, Bear. I will put you up to the drives. What do you call the lie detector?
Do whatever you want. I'll tell you after the. I'll tell you at the next commercial break.
We're going to inject you with the truth serum right here. You want to hear, just like you said out in the office, they're threatening to release, I'm not making this up, by the way, prosecutors in the Robert Kraft prostitution massage parlor thing are saying that they will be releasing. I wish I was, but I swear I'm not making this up. They are going to be releasing video evidence of Robert Kraft.
His happy ending?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
And I asked just around the office, I said, look, gun to your head, you lie, you die. Are you watching that tape if it gets released?
I said no.
You're the only one that said no. You're the only one that lied. You're watching it. Everybody listening to this show right now, I know you all, in your heart of hearts, you're watching it. You're not watching it you're not fantasizing about it. You're not watching it like that. You're not watching it, alone, covered in shame in your bathroom, but you're watching it because it's a train wreck, and that's what you do at a train. You watch. You want to know what happened with Bruce Pearl, the era. You want all the gory details just as badly as I do. If there was a dude selling dope outside the library on campus, I want to know who it was. How much he made?
There's some interesting tweets about it. G-Man Vols, he says, F the Patriots, number one.
Oh, we're talking about.
But the Kraft tape, he says, number two, this seems kind of vindictive considering there was no sex trafficking and it was a basic prostitution bust. And number three, I will be watching the tape.
Of course. Of course you're going to watch. The owner of the New England Patriots? Getting a handy at an Asian massage parlor? Yes, you're going to watch.
Davey Hudson?
You're not going to feel good about it. You're not going to be proud about it, but you're going to watch.
Durham Dave from 3 and Out. I have now turned my attention to waiting on hashtag Deflategate 3.0. That was pretty good, Davey.
Barry says this is Willie's new modus operandi. Sit on hold and then disappear when it's his time. And we try and take care of people. We probably shouldn't do this, but this is how accommodating we are on the drive. Brandon tells me off air, Willie says he's in a hurry, wants to know if we can squeeze him in this segment. This is as I'm finishing up the Rocky Top report. I should have just said no. I was supposed to go to break over 10 minutes ago, right, Brandon? I mean, I'm just destroying the clock right now. Mark Richt, Les Miles.
Wait a minute, we didn't take the break
just
yet?
Destroying the clock.
No, I mean, we'll work through. It's all good.
So I go
to Willie because I'm here for the people. That's what we're here for on the drive. I go to Willie, and he's been waiting on hold, what, Brandon? 2 minutes tops? 2 minutes? Maybe three.
Maybe three.
And he's already hung up. Can't wait 3 minutes.
Well, I think in Willie's
it took him more time to pick up the phone and dial it and talk to Brandon and get on hold than to actually wait on hold.
I think the deal is Willie's got a new job and it's in the afternoons and he can't, you know.
Well, if you can't wait on hold for 2 minutes.
You probably don't need to come. Yeah. But it's Willie. I mean, he wants to get his fix. He's like, he hadn't been able to talk to us in a while. Yeah, I just got a communique from the mayor of Sono. Says Willie's at work.
Great.
He's like a junkie looking for a fix, man.
Try to do him a solid. Try to help a guy out.
Can't wait 2 minutes. Still not as good as the time where he fell asleep and was snoring when we put him on the air.
That was one of my favorite Willies. He's not the first person to do that.
Let's take this break that we were supposed to take 12 minutes ago. Stay with us. The Drive continues on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive's podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group today at 865-566-0800. Applying for disability can be very tedious. Having an experienced attorney on your side makes it easy. Call Disability Advantage Group, 865-566-0800, or visit online at dag-us.com.
All right, back here on The Drive, it's Fox Sports Knoxville. Go to the phones here. 865-546-8200. John Tweet is next. Hello, Tweet.
What happened to Willie? He fall asleep?
I don't know. I made an executive decision during the break. He no longer gets special treatment. He has to wait on hold forever, just like everyone
else. I feel like
else.
We had a vote on that.
Preferential treatment. Whatever happened to the Willie and Philly segment that was supposed to come together? Could you not get the phone line squared away for it?
Did we learn how to do that? How to conference callers? We can do that now, right, Brandon?
Yeah,
I would
think
love
so.
To get a Philly and Willie.
Yeah, I think so.
Together, if he'll wait for more than a minute on hold.
let's establish some ground rules for the craft thing. If I'm not married, so I'm single, but if you are married, is that cheating?
I'm sorry. What now?
What?
Oh, if you were
married, is that considered cheating?
Yes.
Yes, I would say so.
Yeah. If you ask anybody's wife, they're going to tell you that's cheating. And for the fellas
now,
is
Kraft married or single? I forget.
He's got some 32-year-old trophy model wife.
Yes, that's awesome. Good for him. Maybe they have an arrangement of sorts, you know?
I think they have an arrangement that, you know, she'll get all those events on his arm, but she's not, you know, they're not consummating the marriage, so to speak.
You know the video is going to be like some that Japanese porn where they blurt out the good stuff, you know?
Well, I would hope so. Yeah, I don't think they're going to release a picture of
an 82-year-old man
fully torqued out there just having – no, no, man. No, they ain't going to do that.
You think it's HD? I mean, in all honesty – this is for being a sting. Do you really care that he went to some? I mean, seriously, I certainly don't. Do you?
It makes me view him in a slightly different way. I mean, I never held him up as some paragon of virtue.
I'm saying he's
with.
Not some like.
No, he's a scumbag owner of the Patriots.
It is a little bit funny to think.
He's a cheater.
Here's one of the richest men in the world, and like.
He's in Jupiter, Florida, at a strip mall Asian massage parlor.
Yeah. Sleazing.
I don't know.
Sleazing.
You think that's all that was going on was the rub down, and so to speak? You think there was different things on the menu, as it were?
I don't know. What do you think, John? You think there was extra stuff on the menu?
I don't know. I mean, to have somebody of that ilk, as you say, bear, going into a place like that. I mean, didn't they have an extensive list of people and said his name wouldn't be the biggest one to come out of it?
Yeah, that's what, that just kind of died
oh,
a slow death.
Oh, sure it
death,
died. It
didn't
died
it?
A slow death. It died a very fast, like, throat slitting in some back alley somewhere. It died quick.
Kind of like the Red Wedding.
Say another word about it. Yeah, I'd say.
Well, that was Adam Schefter, right, who said that.
Yeah, but he never followed up with it. Look at who all lives in that zip code.
Well, I understand, but I mean, Robert Kraft is not like the local assistant principal at the public high school either. I mean, like, he's big enough.
Yeah, but he's not, you know, like, what'd you just say,
Trey?
A lot of the, like, no, we're not talking about the field fillers either.
So we're like, they would cover up for Tiger Woods, but they wouldn't for Robert Kraft. That doesn't make any sense.
I mean, are you really have to cover up for Tiger Woods? I mean, he's kind of...
Well, somebody of that ilk.
He kind of puts his...
Michael Jordan, Tiger... I mean, all these guys. Like, it's not going to be a huge surprise. Like, who, if it came out, was at that massage parlor, having those kinds of relations, would you be like, oh, my goodness. Well, I never.
Peyton Manning.
Oh, okay, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Yeah. I would be a little bit taken aback. I would be a little bit taken aback.
There's a lot of famous people in that neighborhood. That's all I'm saying.
Would it not be public record if the people are charged? I mean, you could file a Freedom of Information Act, could you not?
I believe so.
I bet there's going to be some people that won't get charged.
Beautiful. I mean, what are you really charging them with? Solicitation?
Yeah. Solicitation, prostitution.
I mean, I guess when I think of prostitution, I'm thinking of something different than a rub and tug at the local massage parlor.
All right, John Tweet.
All right, boys.
Thank you, Tweet. Appreciate the phone call. Let's take another quick time out. We'll be right back. It's The Drive on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Back here on The Drive, Fox Sports Knoxville. Cruising with you here on this Wednesday afternoon edition of the show. Hope you're doing well as we break things down. Brandon, get ready for the – you are aware you're on top four at four duty today, right?
Yes, fully aware.
Nature boy Rick Butler, nowhere to be seen in the Fan Run studios.
He did a good job while you're gone.
I would expect nothing less. We are taking your phone calls, 865-546-8200. What is it? Bill says, spill it, Russell, 15 minutes ago. Was I withholding information or something?
Oh, about the 2006-2011 stuff? I mean, everybody's heard rumors, and I mean, there are some stories. Yeah, I imagine there's some stuff that nobody knows about. But
The rumors surrounding Ramar Smith, like, it would take up an entire chapter in the, like, Bruce Pearl era book, which should be written, by the way. I thought about that earlier today. Like, that's not a project that I'm worthy of because I'm not a great writer. Plus, I don't want to put in all the work it would take. Mark Nagy, so, like, he could probably write the oral history of the Bruce Pearl era.
I don't know if Mark would want to. Mark's more of a lighthearted kind of guy.
Did you read his book?
Yeah.
It was a Shakespearean tragedy.
Yeah, but it was, you know, some of that stuff is it's pretty dark. Got borderline sinister. Some bad stuff went on.
Well, Bill says Barrett is correct. I'm not holding anything back. I'm saying I would like to know. I would like to know the whole you know, all the stories that players and coaches alike, I'm sure, have from that era that I've never seen.
The reason I don't, the little bit that I've heard, if it's true, which I really think it is, it's not going to, even though it was so long ago, I don't want to air our dirty laundry.
Will it change the way I look at that period?
That's probably, but that's a good, if it came out that, hey, Bruce Pearl was running a damn halfway house here, and his players weren't going to class, drug use was rampant, violent crime was possible, if not confirmed, to have occurred by his players when they were here, maybe then, probably not, maybe I'm being too naive here, but maybe some of the Bruce Davidians would finally take a step back and say, oh, wow, maybe we need to drop it with the Bruce. Maybe we're better off without that guy running our basketball program.
I don't know.
I know there are some dead enders who would follow him straight off the cliff, but I'll bet you there are some.
Well, because I've had a conversation with what somebody that you would consider to be a dead ender, you know, obviously not on the air, and they just asked me, you know, just what I'd heard. And I told him, and I don't think it fazed him. I don't know. I mean, I love Bruce Pearl. I love what he did here, but, you know, there was stuff going on that was a lot more serious than, you know, an illegal barbecue. That's all I'm saying.
See my guy on Jeopardy? See what he's doing.
I've got. Is he gonna? So how does he get? Explain this to me. How do you get knocked off Jeopardy?
You don't win.
So does he start every day at zero?
Yeah.
And he's is he past Ken yet?
I think he's coming up to Ken. But Ken won something like 70 games in a row, Ken Jennings. And this guy's only won like maybe a dozen or so games, but he just balls to the wall like he's a professional sports gambler. So like last night he got a daily double. He's already got the game locked up. He's like, yeah, I'll bet 17,000 on a daily double. And he gets it. Like, just without – so he's, like, routinely scoring up near $100,000 a game. Stay with us. The Drive continues. It's Fan Run Radio. Hour number two coming up.